60% of top distributors run on Epicor Profit 21. It's ERP built for distribution, enhanced with agentic AI that doesn't just inform, but acts. Optimizing inventory, streamlining purchasing, and making every day easier. Don't play catch up. Visit epicor.com/win.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
The Burt Show. It's the Burt Show's entertainment bus.
It was a big day on Friday for Swifties because we got a new album, but it was an even bigger day on Friday for Sean Diddy Combs because he was sentenced, and he was, the prosecutors wanted him to get 11 years, and of course his team wanted him to get 14 months, which would have essentially just been time served. And in a last ditch effort in an attempt to try and, you know, get some sympathy for him, the defense presented a clip from a personal documentary style video where it really portrays him to be a family man. I'm like, this is the thing y'all were gonna throw out at the last minute in hopes that they were gonna go from 11 years to like a year and a couple months.
Biggest trophy I want the best person trophy, but I know in order for me to get into heaven, I'm not gonna get in there, well, come on in heaven, you had 20 hit records. That don't mean nothing, and that's what this world is for. They gonna say, oh, come on in heaven, you was a nice person.
I love you.
I love you so much.
I love you so much.
Love you so much.
Hi, Daddy.
Oh. I mean, it's laughable. I mean, what, because your kids are hugging you and you're saying you're going to be a nice person, you think, oh, okay, well, you know, everything you've been accused of and all the evidence we've seen, like, whatever, like, it's fine. We'll give you 14 months. Like, you want to be a nice person, Sean.
And that's what he submitted to the judge right before sentencing?
That's what his defense team put out. I know, it's pretty weak.
What was that sound in there that sounded like cows?
Yeah. They're like hugging each other.
That's how they hug each other?
I thought that's what it sounded like when you apply baby oil.
Thanks for that, Tommy. Anyway, so he didn't...
0 to 70 quick.
He didn't get the 11 years that prosecutors were hoping for. He ended up getting 50 months, which is essentially like 4 years. And he also has to pay a $500,000 fine and undergo a 5-year supervised release. Before his sentencing, of course, they threw out that video in an attempt to try and get some sympathy, but he also apologized to his mother and he apologized to all the women that he abused. And he then had a plea to the judge. He said about his kids, he said, they need me. They're scared and I'm scared. I will never put my hands on another person again. I have learned my lesson.
Yeah, I think he sent like a statement to the judge also saying how he's rehabilitated already. He's learned his lessons. Please take it easy on me. And the judge is like, no can do.
So, of course, his attorneys are probably going to appeal this conviction. But right now, Manz is going to be in prison for the next, I guess, 3 years, if we're going to count his time served already. Miley Cyrus, she's opening up on CBS Sunday Morning that she believes she is the first person ever to have been canceled. She was talking about leaving her Disney image behind. And when she entered that bangers era, which, of course, we all know from that short pixie cut she had, that very provocative performance with Robin Thicke and just the overall backlash that she got from that. She said that she feels like she was the first celeb to really get the canceled treatment, but that season of her life actually wasn't that hard for her.
I mean, there were moms that were trying to, I guess, cancel you.
Yeah, I was the first person to maybe ever be canceled, I guess.
How would you describe that time in your life?
Well, you know, I didn't know until I was older, actually, how brutal it really was, because it was very, I guess, you know, challenging for other people. But for me, it was a good time.
I don't know if I can really go on the record and say that she's the first person to ever get canceled, but she's the first person that I can remember really got the canceled treatment. But that's just because she was really my target audience. Like, I grew up watching Hannah Montana, and then when I saw her with that foam finger, I was like, Hannah, come back. Where are you? why did you leave Montana? So really just a shocking claim from Miley. But when it happens to you, I feel like you can really internalize it so much that it's like, oh, I'm the only person that this has really happened to at that time.
I don't think it ever bodes well for a celebrity.
celebrity in an interview to talk in absolutes, because 99.9% of the time, you are not the first and you are not the last.
Wasn't the Dixie Chicks before Miley Cyrus?
Yes.
Yeah, way before. And that's just a quick search right there, so I'm sure there were much more than that.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's The Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Bad Bunny hosted the season 51 premiere of Saturday Night Live, and he had the perfect comeback to anyone who's hating on him for being the Super Bowl halftime show performance this year. So in his opening monologue, he did address the backlash over the announcement that he will be the performance. He poked fun at some critics, specifically Fox News, who I think was probably the most loud about not being excited about him being the performer. And he introduced this mashup that Saturday Night Live did, where they took all of the anchors saying different things and put it all in one combined clip to make it sound like they were excited about him being announced as the performer. And he also did part of his monologue in Spanish, ending with a joke that if you didn't understand anything he said, you have 4 months to learn.
You might not know these, but I'm doing the Super Bowl halftime show, and I think everyone is happy about it. Even Fox News. I know that people all around the world who love my music are also happy, especialmente todo Latino. Y las latinas en el mundo entero y aquí en los Estados Unidos, todas las personas que han trabajado para abrir puertas, más que un logro mío, es un logro de todos, demostrando que nuestra huella y nuestra aportación en este país nadie nunca la podrá sacar ni borrar. If you didn't understand what I just said, you have 4 months to learn.
Yeah, I saw a little bit of the backlash after the announcement. I didn't really understand because, I mean, just to give you some stats to put it in perspective, just how big of an artist Bad Bunny is, if he's not the music that you listen to, because I get it, if this is not an artist that you tune into, you're probably, who's Bad Bunny? But Bad Bunny, his all credit streams surpass 100 billion streams on services. His album, I'm going to butcher this because I'm super white. His album, Un Verano Sin Ti, has become Spotify's most streamed album ever. And it was the first album to pass 20 billion streams on Spotify. It was also the first all Spanish album to top the US Billboard year end chart. And his most recent album that came out in 2025 debuted at number 2 on the US Billboard 200 in its first week and then bumped up to number 1. So this guy isn't some rando. They're not just picking a small indie artist for the Super Bowl halftime show.
No, I understand the controversy. I am just so tired of everything turning to having to be political. Every debate, everything's political now. I have just lost my appetite for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's you're not going to have to talk about it in 2 weeks, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, three weeks.
Well, 15 more shows.
I also think, from what I've seen online, people don't realize that Bad Bunny is from Puerto Rico, mm-hmm. which is a U.S. territory. Mm-hmm. So and it's not the first time the Super Bowl halftime show has had he's not even a foreign performer, but if you think of him in that manner, Shakira, Coldplay, like over the Rolling Stones, there have been tons of performers from all around the world who have performed at the Super Bowl halftime show.
Yeah, except it hasn't been 2025.
Yeah. That therein lies the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I know there was a little bit of backlash, but I think he's going to put on an incredible show, and he's so funny. Watching him on Saturday Night Live, I was like, this guy has such a killer sense of humor, and they really work in well, because I know he more predominantly speaks Spanish. They make it work so well for his capabilities in terms of making it watchable for the audience, but also playing off the fact that it's also a strength to be able to use his first language in those sketches.
I want to speak English the way he speaks English. With the accent.
That's a pipe dream. That's maladaptive daydreaming for you.
That's a coping mechanism for you.
Getting it, Kristen.
This is The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's The Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
I'm going to do a quick search, right?
Okay.
And maybe tomorrow at this time, the dark side role-playing.
Okay.
Like what somebody requested you role-play.
Yeah.
If you were like, WTF. Absolutely not.
Because you know, just role-playing, when your dude hears that, he's like, all right, yeah. Something new, let's go for it. But you got to be Kermit.
At the very least, I think we need to do, what do you call it? The sound effect theater or...
Masterpiece theater.
Masterpiece theater. And we need to role-play Muppet fan fiction. Okay, Taylor Swift is opening up about something I never thought she would speak about publicly. She is sharing some pretty major details about her wedding and what it's going to be like. I'm very excited about this because, of course, she's been on this big press tour. She's been over in the UK doing a bunch of radio interviews with all those BBC radio presenters, a.k.a. my future coworkers.
I hope that for you. Have you seen all the rumors that they are buying out somebody's wedding in the Hamptons? And have you seen this one?
So this is an urban legend. Literally, I got a DM about somebody's aunt who was invited to a wedding. And apparently there's some rich woman who is paying somebody for that wedding date. Like, they're going to pay for their new wedding and their honeymoon. But so many other people have had other people say, well, I have a rich aunt that was going to this wedding too. At this point, like, I think it's somebody from Taylor's camp that is trying to throw a red herring out there. So yeah. We all actually forget where, or we actually don't pay attention to where she's going to get married, because she is going to do a destination wedding. And if she does it in Rhode Island, where this rumor, this urban legend is taking place, that wouldn't be a destination. So Taylor is talking about some of her famous friends that are going to be there. And of course, like, when you are one of the most popular famous people in the world, you're going to have very popular famous people at your wedding that anybody would be excited to have at their nuptials. But one of her close friends is Ed Sheeran, and she said that it's probably more than likely he's going to be performing at the wedding.
Is he singing at your wedding?
Oh, I mean, it would be hard to keep him from it, I think.
He has that energy.
I'm always being asked to sing at weddings. It's like, Ed, if there's a stage, you know that you'll be on it.
Exactly.
He knows what people want, and he wants to give people what they want. That's the fun thing about our friendship, is we both love performing and we love writing and we love singing. So it's like, we're like, oh, don't make me sing. Yeah. All right.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, like, as you wheel in your own piano.
As you're up there explaining to the house band, you're like, shake it off. It's three chords. We're starting here. We're going, you know.
God, I'm going to be so jealous of anybody who gets to go to that wedding.
Do you think this is a little bit performative? And I don't mean like she shouldn't be excited about her own wedding, but do you think, because Taylor is such the quintessential performer and has shared so much of her life through her music with fans, do you think the big party is going to be the publicized event, but she's going to have a secret wedding in advance, like a very close friend only secret wedding, and it'll come out years later?
No, I don't think so. Everyone keeps saying, oh, I think she's already married. I genuinely think she just got engaged to Travis Kelce, and she's going to have this big wedding that she's been thinking about, because Taylor Swift, at the end of the day, is just a girl. Like, I was watching some of these interviews, and she was so excited just to show off her ring to everyone. She's like, look what I got. Like, she's just a normal billionaire capitalist Barbie. She's just like us. And I even saw this interview on BBC Radio 1 with Greg James, where she invited him to the wedding. She's like, of course you're going to come. And he's sitting there like completely gagged, like, you just invited me to your wedding? Are you kidding? And she revealed that she is planning on having a destination event.
By the way, thanks for the invite to the wedding.
You're so welcome.
I don't normally like a destination wedding, but for you, I would make an exception.
Sick.
Where's it going to be? Do we know?
I will let you know. I'm going to let you know at a different time.
Okay, not on the radio. Fine. Yeah. But it's a yes, please. And thank you.
Sick.
Yeah, as if she's just going to be like, oh yeah, it's going to be in Lake Como, Italy next year. Like, don't worry about it.
Also, imagine telling Taylor Swift, no, I don't normally like destination weddings, but for you, I'll make this. Shut up.
They must be very close.
I think they do have a little bit of a rapport, you know, talking, seeing previous interviews from years past. Like, I think maybe that's why he got the invite, because she's like, oh, I've known you for 15 years. Of course you're going to be at my wedding. And she even said on the Greg Norton show where she was... Graham Norton show. Sorry, I'm getting them mixed up. She's like, I don't really care. Like, I'm not going to put people in the bubble as to whether or not they're going to come to my wedding or not. Like, if I've talked to you, you're coming to the wedding.
Is that when she called everyone else poor?
No, what?
Where she's like, oh, the hardest part about, I'm saying this like lovingly, the hardest part about having a wedding is a small budget, so I don't have to decide who's on the bubble or not. Basically being like, because I'm so rich and I don't have a budget.
She did not say small budget. She said the smaller weddings are more stressful, because if you're only going to invite 25 people, for example, like Bert is to his wedding, you have to really get down to the nitty gritty of who deserves to get to be there. And the point she was trying to make was like, I don't want to do that. Like, I just want to party and I want to enjoy my wedding, and I have the money to invite as many people as I want to.
She don't need no cut list.
She doesn't need a cut list. She's Taylor Swift. She could buy the globe. She could have a worldwide wedding. Everyone could be at Taylor Swift's wedding. She has that much money.
Mercedes-Benz Stadium, here we come.
But that just feels like, still yet, that feels performative to me.
Yeah, but
I could have as many as I want, but I don't want people there that aren't really close to us.
But maybe she's just saying that because at the end of the day, she knows she's going to have to talk about the wedding, and someone's going to make cuts no matter what.
Right.
So she's just like, yeah, you can come. And then her people will just cut that person anyway. It's like, whoops, sorry, we didn't have the budget for it.
This is The Bert Show.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.